Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 196. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Miguel Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram. You can find this show at lostinamericapod.com. On the show today, we have Minister Marco coming to us from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. He is here to explain. Kaplan, we're talking about corruption in Mexico today. Corruption at the highest level coming from Emilio Lozoya. We will get back. We'll get into that in just a second. But before we get to that, Kaplan, go ahead.
Go on. What do we got?
I've spoken long enough. Before we get to that, let's get. So there's a corruption scandal happening in Mexico, right?
Yes.
This is taking people. This guy, Emilio Lozoya, is claiming to have dirt on former presidents, multiple former presidents, and he's going down, and he wants to take everybody down with him. And that's all as far as I know. So that's as much as I know so far. But before we get to that, Kaplan, tell people about our Patreon.
Tell people they should already know, but you know what? They don't. They don't all know. We have a Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/lostinamerica. Is that the address?
Kaplan, I'll take back over. Here's what. You're a great pitch man.
No, I'm sorry.
You're the second best pitch man on this show. So let me take back
take,
over.
Take Kaplan, back over. I got to recover.
This show is Lost in America. If you want to hear Kaplan and I 3 extra days a week, just the two of us, 30 minutes a day, talking about life in quarantine. And also, this is a great way to support our podcast. Go to patreon.com/lostinamerica for $5 a month. You get all those extra shows. And it's the way we can do this podcast. So a lot of people say, hey, this podcast brought to you by Tide, brought to you by Coca-Cola, brought to you by AT&T. No,
not us.
This show is brought to you by our Patreon subscribers. Yeah, all those people over there. So jump on, throw us $5 a month, be one of the masses, join. And so that way we can keep bringing you great guests like Minister Marco Kaplan.
Because if they don't join, then I don't want you listening. Turn it off. Don't even listen to this podcast.
We don't want you listening. No,
I don't want you.
We want to get rid of listeners.
We want to shred them. We don't want. So yeah, we want more listeners, but we also want more patrons. So please support us. Anyway.
Support us, Kaplan. And also, people are enjoying this new format we're doing.
Yeah.
We've switched 4 or 5 episodes ago talking to comedians about a global event happening in their city. And the reviews are coming in now, and everyone loves it. I want to read one to you. This is from last week's show. We had on Mohammed Magdi talking about the Israel-UAE deal. This is a review on iTunes from M.S. Colt. I'm going to maybe Mrs. Colt. Miss Colt.
Miss Colt to you.
Miss Colt. Yeah, she says, I love the new format of the podcast. After I listened to the daily Al Jazeera news update, your guests have been able to fill in the blanks for me or dumb down the historical info I never learned about in school in the first place.
Yeah.
He says, I've been now able to communicate with my husband, who reads the New York Times.
Not single. My bad.
who reads the New York Times every day. And I can tell him, listen, husband, I heard in my podcast that dot, 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 dot. Or I can say, my friend who's from Egypt says dot, 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 dot. This info is priceless. So
that's a great review. Thank you, Miss Colt or Mrs. Colt.
Thank you, Miss Colt.
I mean, she's going to be missed soon because she doesn't need this husband to mansplain to her anymore, because now she's getting her news from the podcast, which is what we're trying to do for people. That's another benefit to this new format.
Exactly true. And the iTunes reviews help us. So go on over to iTunes, Leave us a review. We'll read you next week on the podcast. How about that? All right, Kaplan, very quickly, 1 minute or less, what do you know about corruption in Mexico? Let's start there.
What I know about corruption in Mexico is when I was in Tijuana and I got pulled over for an open container, the guy took my passport away and said I had to spend the night in jail until the light bulb went off that if I gave him $20, that all went away. So I paid him $20 and, you know, I went on my way and kept getting drunk. So I figure it's a bit of I feel like that's like a small example, and it probably a little bit bigger than that. There's some corruption.
That's nothing. That's nothing.
Hold on. We haven't brought you in yet, Minister Marco. Second, what I know, to me, the corruption in Mexico, it's something we hear about all the time.
Yes,
right?
We're kind of numb to it, right? We just know it.
As you had said, it is something that we just kind of, there's this idea that if you're in America and the cops pull you over and they say you're going to jail, you're going to jail. There's this idea that in Mexico, if the cops pull you over, yeah, you grease them a little bit and you can get out of it. I don't know where this comes from. I don't know how it started. I don't know where it ends. I think there's also this idea that it's all drug. It comes down to drugs. And if these idiot college kids in America would stop doing drugs, then the drugs would stop coming in from Mexico.
Idiot
and then
college kids.
So blame the college kids.
They're the only ones doing drugs, apparently. Idiot college kids. Yeah.
Well, they're doing most of them. Yeah. Am I wrong?
I guess. Yeah.
And Wall Street bankers. Those are the two groups.
Finance bros.
Most of the cocaine is coming from one or the other. And that's kind of what I know in terms of this specific case. I only knew about it because I researched it, but they haven't told us anything about it in the United States.
I didn't know much about it when you mentioned this was going to be the topic. I said, I don't read The Economist like you. I'm not hoity-toity. I can't afford that on my budget. So I read the standard mainstream media, and they're not covering this story at all. And I don't understand why, because it's crazy. So, we don't know. I feel like we're just numb to each president, successive presidents. Like, everyone knows Vicente Fox. That's the one president everyone knows here because he's a character and he made fun of Trump, so everyone likes him. But like, right. I don't know. Was he corrupt? I don't know. I assume they're all corrupt, but I don't actually know this. I just
Minister Marco, welcome to the show.
Thank
Set
you.
Us straight here. What did we get right in that in that exchange? And what did we get wrong?
You're getting absolutely everything right and everything wrong at the same time.
that's one of our mottos, actually.
Actually, let me tell you. First of all, thank you guys for having me on on your good podcast.
Let me give you a better introduction, actually, before. Minister Marco, I didn't even set you up properly. You've been on Netflix. You've been on Amazon Prime. You do comedy throughout Mexico and sometimes up in the United States in both languages, right? I've seen video of you in English, sometimes mostly in Spanish, out of Cabo San Lucas. I know they have a comedy festival down there. I don't know if you've been part of that. But it's an honor to have you on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Turner. Yes, it is an honor. I happen to do comedy all over the place. I've been blessed to do comedy in many different stages. And it all started funny because I'm actually a real minister. I'm a wedding minister. So that's why my name, Minister Marco. And one day I was doing a really fun wedding here in Cabo for Kevin Klein. And when the wedding was over, he had so much fun that he said, you should become a stand-up comedian. You should write stand-up. And I said, sure, whatever. One thing led to another. He recommended me to the person who organized a comedy festival in town. And before you know it, I'm doing comedy. And 2 years after my debut, I'm doing comedy in Hollywood for Netflix. So yeah, that's my story in a nutshell, really quick. And that's why my name, Minister Marco.
And this is Kevin Klein, the actor, or Calvin Klein, the...
No, Kevin Klein, the DJ, just like you guys, the really famous DJ.
Ah! So,
just like us, the DJ.
Just like you guys. Yeah, he actually used to work for Playboy Radio, and now he's on K-Rock in California, I believe. Ah, so yeah, he's a big guy. Yeah, he's a good, it's a really famous DJ guy. Life. And from there, here I am doing comedy and weddings.
Nice. And now you're talking about politics in Mexico.
And now I talk about politics. And you know what? I'm actually, I'm actually happy that you brought this subject because, as you said, you don't get all the good news, or you only get like the briefings of everything. And of course, America has many different subjects to talk about. But when it comes to different countries, that's when you need the insight of people who actually lived in that country. So this idea is awesome for everybody and anybody who wants to be informed.
We should use that as our blurb or ever from
week. No, this is perfect, man. Believe me, this is perfect. And let me tell you, the character you just talked about, Emilio Lozoya. I have to go a little bit back so everybody will understand how it works regarding corruption. The one thing you should know about Mexico, and that probably not everybody knows, is that Mexico is a big country. It's actually a huge country, and it's very rich. It's so rich that we get it. Everybody steals once the government is about to be over every 6 years. Everybody lives with, you know, really heavy pockets of big money. And we make new money again for the next government. And it has been like this for the past 40 years. I'm 47 years old. And every single time there's a president change, we know that the country is going to suffer because all the politicians are going to take money.
On the way out the door, you mean?
Exactly. They take it with them. And then eventually we find out all the corruption thing they did, just like Emilio Lozoya. And that's when we realize that we are really rich because a poor country wouldn't have people stealing so much.
So that's
the number one thing you should know. Another thing that is very important for Americans or for anybody who's going to watch these podcasts throughout the world is that when you are an educated person, you have many opportunities to do a lot of money in Mexico. But somehow the people who are in government, they are the ones that steal it all. And in Mexico, you have two ways to make money, whether you're a thief or you're a politician. And that is really bad because the working class people, they have it really tough making ends meet. And I'm speaking from the heart. I'm a Mexican born and raised, and I travel the world, actually. I speak 7 different languages. And even though I have such great culture and I'm an educated person, I can honestly say that when somebody offered me a job to be a politician, I declined it because I'm an honest person. Oh. And when somebody comes to you and they say, you know what, you have what it takes to speak in public and have like a public office, I said, no, I don't want to be in the middle of any corruption. I don't want to lose friends. I don't want to taint my name, because that's what happens at the end of the day. You work for someone, and that someone is going to ask you to bring some money, and however you make it happen, that's your problem. And it's very sad. It's very sad that, for example, that small thing you said about going to Tijuana and, you know, having the cop take your passport away, that's just the smallest thing in the big pyramid of skank and money taken and all of that. And it's not even about drug money, believe it or not. Because for what I can remember, back in the day when I was a young guy, we didn't have so much of a narco traffic, no problems with drugs. And corruption has always been, unfortunately, a living part of growing in Mexico. And it's sad. It's very sad as a Mexican to say that not all of us are corrupt, but most of the government, most of the politicians end up taking a lot of money. So if you ever want to be really, really rich, you got to go to school and then become a governor, and then you're going to be completely rich in 6 years. I mean, people make enough money in 6 years to live well off for 4 generations. How can you even explain that? That's how much money they take.
Yeah. Is there any way to, a couple of things. First of all, you covered a lot there, and I want to get into all of it, but I want to start with this idea that what I found interesting about this specific story, which maybe we can explain a little bit more, but the specific story is that it did not, as far as I can tell, it did not involve drugs. So another misconception is that any from the United States down to Mexico is any corruption leads back to the cartel. Not necessarily true. Can you explain what this specific story is?
Sure. First of all, drugs, drug money doesn't stay in Mexico because we don't do the drugs. This is only like a passing area. And the money is either in the States or Canada and down to the cartels and down South America. But the real money from the drugs is not in Mexico. The money that you're talking about, the corruption from Emilio Lozoya,
yeah,
comes from another way of money. And this is money from public construction, from the Secretary of Energy. The big contracts that make a country work by several different companies that can bribe public officers, that's where the big money is. For example, Emilio Lozoya is the son of the former Secretary of Energy, Emilio Lozoya Thalmann, which was a very highly regarded politician back in the day. They never found anything wrong about his term during in politics, because back in the day, governors and politicians were very clever. They were so clever that it was very hard to prove anything. They covered their tracks. Sure, they probably had a lot of cases of corruption, but it wasn't as bad as it is today. I think the politicians now are stupid because they leave so many loose ends. For example, Emilio Lozoya was just captured in Spain. That was in February, I believe. He was living a very good life in Malaga, Spain, in a place where only the millionaires live. It takes, you know, like 6 years wait to get a membership to live in the place where he was living, because it's only built for mega rich people. So how can a Mexican official who is on the run can get a place like that in Spain? Obviously with a lot of money. So that's one of the stupidest things you do. If you're going to rob a bank, you're not going to go on a shopping spree because they're going to know it was you who did it all.
Yeah.
They also say that Emilio Lozoya has videos and even receipts of the money that he gave away as a bribe. Who in the hell writes a receipt for a bribe? Yeah, how do you even sign money to receive as a bribe?
Yeah.
And that is great comedy material because you just don't do that.
What do you do with the receipt to show them when you didn't get what you want? You're like, I bribed
exactly.
you. Here's
like,
the receipt.
Hey, here, I paid them off. So this is something you show to your boss and you're off the hook.
Just to clearly establish for our audience who might not know who Emilio Lozoya is, as you said, he was the son of a well-respected politician.
Yeah, the Secretary of Energy back in the day. And I was going to go next. Emilio Lozoya was he was brought up in Mexico. He went to school. He got a law degree. He also got a administration degree. And then he was sent to Harvard to get a public administration degree. So this guy is a very cultured guy. He's a very educated person. And then when he was young, he was even involved with the World Economic Forum. So he was a very respected person. People will look up to him because he was a young, smart, and very clever person who was in economics. Then Enrique Peña Nieto term came in and he was running to be a president. And Emilio Lozoya was in charge of the Foreign Affairs office. So again, another key position
for any
candidate to the presidency of any country. Peña Nieto wins his presidency, and immediately Emilio Lozoya becomes the director of Pemex, which is the oil company for Mexico. And back in the day, we didn't have any competition. It was only Pemex. Mexican government owned Pemex.
It's state-owned.
And Pemex is the Petróleos Mexicanos, which is the Mexican oil company. And for people who don't know, Mexico is really, really rich in oil. Yep. Mexico has the Gulf of Mexico, and we have tons and tons of oil barrels, and we produce a lot of oil. So that's one of the richest company in the world. Pemex is very wealthy, and he was the director of it.
So Lozoya became he supported Nieto's campaign. And
correct.
Then Nieto got elected. What was that, 2012 when Nieto came in?
That was 2000. 2012 to 2016. That was his term. Yes.
Okay. So then when he came in, he immediately appoints Lozoya the head. All right. So already it feels a little bit, you scratch my back, I scratch yours, possibly.
Exactly. That's how it works.
In some way. And then Nieto goes, his term finishes.
Before he finishes, this is when it all starts.
Okay.
Lozoya is in a key position. Pemex is what calls many different decisions throughout the presidency. So Emilio Lozoya started getting a lot of money. And now it's not only him, but his mother and his sister are involved. All right. So everybody's making a lot of money out of the blue. And you don't get that with any CEO salary. Even if he's Amazon CEO, you still don't get all that money. But Emilio Lozoya started making so much money that he started getting attention. And before he knew he was caught, they removed him from that position. So instead of cutting him red-handed, his career was cut short. And then he moved to another key position where he made decisions for the public building. And this is when it gets interesting, because this is when Odebrecht, the Brazilian company, comes into play. And this company has been bribing all the countries from Brazil all the way to Mexico. And if you don't know, just look up Odebrecht. And these guys are the most corrupt company in the world when it comes to building. So this is what they did. When they wanted to build something and they wanted to use the company Odebrecht will come into that country and give a lot of money so they can win the contract. And obviously, all the money that they gave us a bribe, it was a lot of money. So just for an instance, Emilio Lozoya just got $10 million. $10 million. Out of one small bribe. So you can just imagine all the money that is out there not accounted for.
Yes. Okay. So, wow. Okay. So it was very obvious what he was doing.
Obviously.
To anyone paying attention.
But nobody's really investigating. You say, who was investigating him the first time where you had to leave positions? Is that, you just meant like in general?
Obviously no one, because he was still under the umbrella. He was covered by the government, the current government. But and then the new government came in and Emilio Lozoya was still in key positions. But somehow you're always going to have a problem with the new boss. And this is like the mafia. This works just like John Gotti's mafia back in New York. Remember?
Yeah. Turner knows.
So Emilio Lozoya fled the country and he's now considered to be Sammy the Bull Gravano. He now has information for everybody, and he's now a protected witness.
He's naming he's a rat, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's now ratting everybody. He's been protected, and he has videos and receipts and memos of many key players like ex-presidents, former Secretary of State, energy, public credit, you name it. So nobody ever has done anything like Lozoya is about to do. Nobody knows where Lozoya is at, because people say he's at his home, been home arrest. He's not there. Otherwise, he would have been killed long time ago.
Yeah. It's like he probably doesn't have long to live, correct?
Who knows? Because, again, he has so many interests. Many people will want to hear what he has to say. So, but, again, he's running short in time.
So the AMLO is the abbreviation for the current president, right? His name, Lopez. Exactly.
Lopez Obrador.
Lopez Obrador. So when Lopez Obrador came in, his big thing was, okay, I'm going to clean up Mexico. No more corruption. He said he would get corruption down to 0%.
That is correct.
Right?
Zero. And that seems unrealistic.
It's ambitious. Ambitious.
Oh my God. This is something I need to say. I need to say it.
Please say.
Listen, AMLO, or Lopez Obrador, as people know him, he came in pretty much like he was more like a president. Half of the country believed in him with, you know, eyes blindfolded. People really loved him. And I say loved in the past tense. Because right when Emilio Lozoya came up and his story was, you know, uncovered and blown out of proportion, at the same time, another investigator in Mexico, at the same very same time, uncovered a video where López Obrador's brother is receiving money for López Obrador's campaign to be a president. So how can you say I'm going to fight corruption when my own family is doing corruption for me?
Yeah, there's video of him receiving bags of cash,
I know.
I believe, right?
How do they know there's cash in there? Do they have money bags on it, like the dollar sign?
They're talking about money, and you can just see the bags right there. And you can see they're talking about how much money is in that envelope. Oh, there's $1 million.
Okay. No.
So here's $1 million.
Here's a receipt.
Exactly. And let him know that I'm thinking of you, and that million is for his campaign. So, you know, he's out of his grasp, period.
Emily.
Every single president, exactly,
all
our current president, every single president has something somewhere, somewhat. Everybody has skeletons in their closet, but Mexican presidents have become really dumb because they really have not taking care of its own people. And when they get caught, like Emilio Lozoya cared less, and he's about to blow everything up.
Well, this happens in this happens in a lot of countries when you have corruption, and then the new president or the new whatever, they come in and they say, I'm going to root out all corruption. What they're really saying is all corruption except for my own.
Exactly.
Right. And then
the previous corruption sucks, but mine is smart and is new and is mine.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Right.
And so it doesn't change. So did the people did you said they did have hope for a little while that things might change?
Oh, they had a lot of hope. Let me tell you something. This was unprecedented. López Obrador came a president more like a saint. People worship him.
Wow.
When you post something on Facebook about López Obrador and you make fun of him, boy, do you get hate mail back.
And this was 2018 he came in, right?
This is just barely.
Yeah.
But nowadays, well, not now, but, you know, at the beginning of the year, if you will say something bad about López Obrador, even good friends of yours who you know for life will come back to you and cuss at you because you are diminishing a respected figure. But not anymore, because once that video came up, once that video was actually on the news about his brother getting money, his level of respect went all the way down. He's now one more of the guys. He's another good fella.
Right. Which must be so. It's like worse because
it is worse.
It's like Trump, everybody knows he's corrupt. But yeah, exactly.
People were expecting the best. Mm. And here goes another same guy doing the same thing. And at least the other guys, they didn't deny it. We knew it was happening. But they were not claiming otherwise, unfortunately.
So now will he... I guess the big question is, will AMLO, López Obrador, will he go after Nieto or will he go after Emilio Lozoya? Because he's talking big, like, we're going to get him. They're going to go down.
You know, they're going to cite, they're probably going to subpoena every ex-president, every ex-CEO, etc. Emilio Lozoya said he has 17 names, big names of big key players. And among them, there are the two ex-presidents and former secretaries of energy and state. But it's not going to happen because there's going to be two things. Either Emilio Lozoya gets whacked or Emilio Lozoya, which is actually true.
Yeah.
Or Emilio Lozoya's allegations will be not taken seriously now after López Obrador has pretty much no credit. So that case is going to go cold. When it comes to news, it's going to go very cold. Right now, the big thing is COVID in Mexico. And it shouldn't be. Because even though we do have problems with COVID, Emilio Lozoya's thing is huge. It's unprecedented. This never, ever happens. So I was very happy when you said you wanted to talk about Emilio Lozoya's case. Because this is truly the best ratting at its best at the highest level. This is it.
What never happens is somebody names names?
Nobody ever named names.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody ever named anybody. If you stole money as a governor or as a politician and you got caught, you will never rat on on anybody because you knew it wasn't
good. Code.
Exactly. It's a code of amongst criminals. There's a code. But nowadays, somehow with the social media and stuff, I think it's better to tell it all than to say nothing at all.
And he's ratting because he's in Spain and he thinks he's safe. Is that why?
He's in Mexico now. He's not even in Spain. He got extradited. He was arrested, so that's why nobody knows where he is.
But
he
is he in a jail somewhere?
No. He was supposed to listen to this. Yeah. This is a great story. One day in the morning, López Obrador, AMLO, the president, gives a daily briefing every single morning. And it's like 3 hours of daily briefings.
3 hours?
Wow.
About so. Yeah, he has to reinvent himself every single day. And that is the worst stand-up show ever. Because even though he tries to be funny, not fun anymore.
Those are the worst.
Every president around the world now,
governor,
they're all doing daily briefings, and they all think they're hilarious.
And they suck.
Trump is
completely
hilarious.
Off.
I
know. I think comedians should become presidents because comedians will have so many things to talk about in the best way possible. There will always be a punchline every 3 minutes or 2 minutes.
Well, it happened somewhere in what country is it? Somewhere in Eastern Europe, they elected a comedian as president. I forget where.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Wouldn't you love to watch his daily briefings? Of course.
I mean, it can't be worse than most of these. Current leaders.
It will be at least entertaining. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, when AMLO, López Obrador, was informing the whole country that Emilio Lozoya was already in Mexican ground and he was transported to jail, there was a big cover. The media did a huge covering about how Emilio Lozoya was transported from the airport to the Mexican jail, right?
Yeah.
So caravans and caravans of cars and armored cars and news media, et cetera, et cetera. And guess what? Emilio Lozoya wasn't in that caravan.
So how?
He wasn't even taken to jail. They even lied to the president. The president reaffirmed everybody that he was going to be taken to jail. And he wasn't in jail, my friends.
So you think the president genuinely thought he was in jail?
Oh, the president was malinformed. He knew he wasn't even part of his own plan. He was left out. People lied to the president.
Who would do that? Like the intelligence, like the police?
So, still, Emilio Lozoya has a lot of power. He knows a lot of stuff.
And he has money, right?
Exactly.
So he's paying people off to the end.
What they did, they had a lookalike and they took that person to jail. And this was a big scam.
A lookalike.
Because even the media thought he was inside the caravan, the armored caravan.
Wait, can
but
I
Emilio
ask?
Lozoya is not in jail.
Nobody wants to be a lookalike in jail. I hope
Minister Marco,
no,
he's
not in jail.
Let's hold on for a second. Is this what you're assuming, or is this the
no
idea?
This
of
is
the
what
country.
Came out in the news afterwards because
a lookalike.
Everybody was making fun of the president because he was informing something that wasn't true. So, yeah.
Turner, how much do you need to be paid to be a lookalike to go into a Mexican jail for?
Well, either pay
and
me a lot.
You know what? You look like Emilio Lozoya, by the way.
Oh, no.
No, you don't. No, but you know what? It was on the news, but it wasn't on your news. This is something you don't get.
We don't
none
get this.
None of this was on our news. Yeah.
No. If you really look into it and if you speak Spanish, obviously you can read it. But the international news, you don't get this fiasco of a caravan transporting one guy to jail and he wasn't that guy. You don't get that. We got it. We knew.
So can I ask you, what about this? I remember when they were taking that, like El Chapo was going down and he kept escaping from jails, right?
Yeah, he was because, again, he had money, he had power.
Okay, and then
but until one point, America, the United States, couldn't allow him to be off the hook anymore. So that's when they really caught him.
Yes. Like,
and then that's what he was.
They brought him to Brooklyn. So
yeah
he was because
staying
he wasn't good for business anymore. Mm. Not for America and not for Mexico. He became a liability.
You get
And now you have another cartel leaders from other organizations that are doing exactly the same thing.
You have a guy named El Mencho. I was doing my.
Oh, yeah.
I love that name. So,
the Mencho. Yeah. Well, you have a couple now that are actually fighting what El Chapo left.
Oh, okay.
So that's why we have a drug war in Mexico. But it's not as bad as when El Chapo was.
So what do you see? Is there any end in sight for any of this stuff?
You know what?
Like what
Emilio Lozoya. Emilio Lozoya is hidden somewhere that no one knows. And even though people claim that he was at the hospital because he wasn't feeling well, and now apparently he's at home doing home arrest. Listen, when he was officially being transported to jail, everybody didn't know the real truth. So we don't know what will happen. We don't know if he is really going to testify and bring people down with him, or if he's going to end up, you know, dead somewhere, or if people will disappear him as a protected witness and nobody will ever hear from him again.
Or that is there a chance? Yeah. That he can, you're saying he'll escape. Option three is he might just escape and be out.
No, he might just buy his way out.
Yes.
Okay. Where he doesn't have to get dirty and people will just forget about him and business as usual. He'll be gone.
Is his father still alive? Who was the?
Yes, I believe so. Yes, I believe so. But the mother and the sister were involved because they had too much money, man. Listen, they sold a fertilizer plant. And just out of that sale, they got $200 million. Just of that one little business, they got $200 million. And they made transactions like that, so many different ones. So it's big money, man. That's why I wanted to start your beautiful podcast by saying Mexico is one of the richest countries in the world.
Yeah.
It really is. But it's not shown in people. It's always up there in the politics, right, in the higher levels.
Inequality for the richest.
So what would it take for Minister Marco? Let's say you became president.
President Marco.
Thank you.
No,
what
he
would you no,
he
no,
won't
no,
do
just,
it.
Just okay, just well, hear me out.
I'll tell you.
You become president. And uh-huh. you decide that you're going to do your best possible job to root out corruption in Mexico. Who would you have to control? What are the big issues that would have to be fixed for it to happen?
I'll end up dead.
Okay. So it's not happening.
No, listen. it almost happened when Salinas de Gortari was going to be a president back in 88.
Okay.
We had a great contendant, which was actually going to be the president, and got killed in Tijuana. And instead, Salinas de Gortari became a president. So if we would have this guy, he would have changed Mexico. But this is not about politics anymore.
He should have bribed that cop. He didn't know. No.
Exactly. But let me tell you something. It's not about what you can do up there, because everything up there is corrupted as it is. It's what you can do with the kids now. It's like, for example, don't pay money to get, you know, the answers for the test. My daughter came to me the other day and said, you know what, Dad? They're selling the answers for the graduation test. And my daughter is very smart. She says, you know, I think stupid, they're paying like $10 to get everything answered so they can get an A instead of studying. And I said, you know what? Don't you ever, ever buy anything the easy way, because then at the end, it's going to cost you, because you're not going to know, and then you're going to fail, and you're still going to spend your money. So if you can study, that's going to be free, and that's going to be with you, that for you. You have to educate kids. You have to educate people not to bribe the traffic policemen when they stop you. Get your ticket, pay your ticket, pay your fine. Americans, when you come to Mexico, don't pay bribes. if you get caught pissing on the street, well, don't be a dirty fucker and go to the toilet.
Go to the toilet, Kaplan.
I was drinking.
Don't pay money for pissing on the street. if you do something illegal, this is a true story. And a good friend of mine that you know, that we all know, during the Cabo Comedy Festival, this comedian, which I will not name the name.
But can I ask a question? Does he have two names that sound similar? First name.
I won't say, but this guy.
Okay. Joe Schaefer.
this guy went to a bar and he was hitting on this chick. And he didn't know right from wrong because he was already kind of drunk. And he asked her how much she charged for the night, right?
Oh, come on.
Well, yeah. No, wait a minute. This is where it gets really good. This girl was so pissed. She was the daughter of the police chief in town. And this guy gets thrown into jail, obviously, because he insulted her.
Yeah.
And she had everybody, and she knew every cop in town. So before you know it, he's arrested. He's taken to jail. And me, as a local, I was asked, you know what? Do you have any friends in the Mexican police that can help us release this stupid comedian who did this? So we all went, paid his fine. And this is a true story. This happened here in Cabo. But these are the kind of things you get in trouble with. And these are the kind of things you just don't.
Kaplan, this is why you need to join the police force in Mexico.
Yeah. In Mexico.
So if anyone hits on Ruby, you can take him to prison.
Cops are not even that bad in Mexico. All the federales and everything you hear in movies and say.
Oh, yeah, federale. Yeah.
If you behave, you're going to be off the hook. Otherwise, most tourists will be in jail, right? People who get in trouble are the ones who get thrown into jail.
You're blaming the
victim. And you mention it. The stupid college kids, stupid drunk addicts or drug addicts. That's people who are in trouble back in the States, back in Canada, back in France, anywhere you live. If you have a bad lifestyle, of course you're going to have a bad time when you're on the go.
Yeah.
Same thing in Mexico.
I haven't had any problems with the Mexican police ever since. Many, many times.
No. If you behave, we are nice people. Yeah. We are like you guys are.
Yeah. So
this
what's
a great
going
country
on
to live at?
In you're in Cabo San Lucas, correct?
I'm in Cabo. This is a tourist town, 100%.
I was gonna say we don't send our best Americans.
Oh, that's spring break, right? And like,
you know when Trump said that about the Mexicans, when he said, "Well, Mexico is not sending their best." Sometimes I think that America doesn't send their best to us either.
We don't send our best. Not Cabo.
Believe me.
Everywhere we send our worst to all the spring break places to like.
There are great Americans. There are bad Americans. There are great Mexicans. There are bad Mexicans.
Sammy Hagar is one of our worst.
It's the nature. It's the nature of people. It doesn't matter where you live. That's people being people. Yeah.
So what's it like performing down there? I mean, is that where you started? Like you get to tour around. But is there a regular comedy scene in Cabo?
No, not really, because since it's a tourist town, people are more interested in doing tourist stuff. So when you put like a comedy club, it's not like in the States.
I see.
In the States, you have like regular days where you go get to see your favorite comedians. Sometimes we had great comedians in town, and it's hard to even do a whole sold out because people are doing... Right. You know, the nightclubs, and during the day, they do all the beach and all the stuff.
But same like Miami. I went to college in Miami, and there's barely a stand-up comedy scene. There's a little one now, but almost
because when
really.
You visit, as a tourist, you're not thinking comedy when you go to...
Exactly. Comedy for anybody who lives in the city is a reason to go out.
Yes.
It's a reason to have a night out.
But you...
Comedy in a tourist town is like another attraction. It's not like Vegas. You know, in Vegas, you can go to many different shows, and comedy is considered to be another show. So that's when you even get tickets and stuff. But in Cabo, since Cabo is so much fun at night, comedy is not a 100% thing to do.
But do you, since you're licensed to marry people, do you marry people in Cabo who get drunk like in Vegas and just like...
You know what? Not really, man. The weddings in Cabo are very expensive.
Oh, okay. It's not like
we don't have like the drive-in wedding.
The drive-in, yeah. You should bring that in.
No. No, man. You know what? Let me tell you. The cheapest wedding in town is about $3,000. So,
No.
I don't weddings. I'm actually, let me tell you a story. I did Eli Manning's wedding.
Oh,
I was
really?
A minister. Yeah. Oh,
Eli Manning.
When he was good.
I'm not
when he was an MVP.
That? Yeah.
Minister Marco's like, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it now. I was only doing it when he's
only
that was like
when
his college
good.
Sweetheart, I think. Or, yeah.
And it was right after when he won the Super Bowl. So it was a big thing. You know?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I've done a lot of celebrity weddings, and same reason, they spend a lot of money to come here. A lot of money. Yeah.
So who's the, where's the, what's the, for Mexico, what's the hub of stand-up comedy? Would that be Mexico City?
Mexico City, without a doubt.
That's like the New York for comedy.
It's like New York for comedy, or like LA for comedy. But again, stand-up comedy is a new thing in Mexico. It's probably 20 years old, 20 at the most. And it's been really, really big 10 years from now. Yeah, about 10 years. That's when it all started to become real, you know, with the real timing, with all the structure as a stand-up comedy. Because people back in the day will do anything just to get a laugh, you know.
Yeah.
Performances, they will do a lot of imitations. But now people are taking stand-up more seriously. And now they do have the structure of a stand-up comedian.
And is that where, is if you want to be up, now you got on TV in the United States, but is Mexico mm-hmm. City where the shows are filmed? Like you would go there to get on get on TV, do stand-up on TV, that kind of stuff?
Mexico City, Guadalajara, and Monterrey, which are the three largest cities.
Monterrey.
And I perform in all of them, and I tape shows in all of them, on all the TV stations there.
And then can you, what about for Latin America, Spanish-speaking comedy? Is Mexico also the home? Like, can, if
no.
you're big in Mexico, can you go throughout? No.
No, okay. If you're big in Mexico, you can make it anywhere. But let me tell you something. Every single country is so diverse. It's so different than Mexico. The accent, the Spanish, is different. Most people don't know this, but the accent in Brazil, the accent, well, Brazil is Portuguese, but the accent in Chile, in Argentina, in Costa Rica, in Venezuela, every single country, accents is different. So when you become a stand-up comedian and you go as a Mexican to do comedy in Argentina, you're probably not going to be as good because the way you speak and the lingo is not the same like the Argentinians do.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a huge cultural difference.
And do you guys have a Comedy Central? Like, I know Comedy Central has regional, like they have Comedy Central Asia. Do you guys have one for Mexico or is it Latin America?
Latin America.
And where do they book out of?
Mexico City and Argentina. And Argentina.
So if you're on Comedy Central in Mexico City, it's being shown throughout Central America?
All throughout. And if somebody does a show in Argentina in Comedy Central, you get to see it in Mexico too.
Cool.
And that's when you notice that the jokes don't work as well for whatever is funny down there, down south in Argentina. It might not even sound funny to us.
Yeah, same language, but different country. It's like
way different.
We watch British, you know, comedians, and sometimes we get it, and sometimes we're like, I don't care. I don't know I don't know the local tendencies of people in Nottingham or whatever, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And in Spanish, it's even more so because every country is different. The English somehow is pretty much the same throughout the world. Yes, you do have different accents and different way to speak. But in language, in Spanish, for example, Spanish from Spain, way different than any Spanish ever.
Barcelona, right?
Barcelona is completely different. And the comedy is a lot different too. Sure, you laugh, but it's not 100% laughable like a local show.
Do you think Mexicans
are very funny in Spain? Come on.
I was going to say.
No, people are funny.
In Spain? They're good. Yeah.
Spaniards are funny. Spaniards are really funny. And they don't have to cuss a lot, which is really odd.
Why? Is the Mexican comedy dirty?
Well, you can have really dirty Mexicans. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you have the Bill Burrs of Mexico. You have the Louis C.K.'s.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you have the
you don't want the Louis C.K.'s. You don't want the Louis.
How's the Me Too movement down at
I'm a mix in between Bill Burr and Louis C.K.
On stage.
They're both great comics. So yeah.
But I'm a minister, but I'm not a religious minister. I'm a wedding minister. So whatever I say on stage, it doesn't reflect who I am. It
doesn't disqualify you from.
No, not at all. And I had, this is the funniest thing. Sometimes I have a wedding in Cabo, and they come from California, all right, L.A. And I go to L.A. and do a show at the Improv. And I tell them, I'm going to be doing a show at the Improv. And half of the people that was at the wedding, they're at the show. So it's
nice.
Great shit.
Crossover.
Great.
What about audience-wise? Is it like our Mexican audiences expecting something different from U.S. or English-speaking audiences?
Oh, yeah. They're very – they consume a lot of stand-up. They go a lot. They love stand-up. And they hate it when you repeat a joke. It's not like in the States. You know, like in the States, you have a – like your jokes that work, your jokes that have been with you for the past 10 years, and you know they work. And that's your material that you love to do and people love for you to do again and again.
Yeah.
When you do that in Mexico, they hate you because they say, we're paying for you to say something funny, not something I know. And like, ah. Yeah. So you have to be very creative. You have
Because they come back over and over again, the same audience. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you have to be very creative. Pretty much you can say one or two jokes. But and if they request a joke they like, you might say it. But if if you repeat a routine, they'll never come back to you.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're tough audiences.
Well, that happens. I mean, partially. That's why when you tour in the U.S., you only want to hit a city like once a year because you want the next time the act. I mean, ideally, this is kind of my generation. I think the older generation of comics, like Seinfeld, would do the same act for a decade. And then he made a big deal out. He filmed a whole documentary about himself writing a new hour. We're writing new hours every year.
When he buried all the material and
And I remember being a kid thinking like, wow, that's so amazing. He wrote a new hour. And then you get older and you get into comedy and you're like, no, that's the job is to write a new hour. You're supposed to be doing that all the time is writing a new hour. Right. But so that's probably better for you guys that the audience demands new material.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When I go to the States, I'm more famous in the States than I am in Mexico.
Oh, really?
Believe it or not. Yeah.
Where's your, Turner, are there any comedy shit clubs in, where is it, Acomal? Where your parents have a place?
Acomal. Well, my parents live part of the year in Acomal, which is in just north of Tulum and the Yucatan.
Yeah, real close to Cancun.
But I've done the comedy fest. They used to do a comedy festival there.
Yeah, I heard about it, yes.
Out of the stand-up, what was it called? Stand-up Records, a guy out of Minnesota. His family lived down there and he would put on this yearly festival. So I did that once, but it's all, you know, that's not really a Mexican audience. It's most of the tourists.
And remember, I don't know if it happened to you guys, but I don't know if you were sold out the whole time, but it's hard to get people to actually fill in a whole place.
No, it was pretty, I mean, they were small shows and they did a ton of marketing because it was over the course of 1 week and they do it only once a year. And even with all the marketing, some of the shows are 30 people, 25 people, you know, in the back of a bar or something.
Yeah, we had big names here in town and still it was tough to get the rooms all filled in.
It's hard to compete with the beach.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the biggest heckler of all.
You need to take a page out of the government and just I guess, and bribe some people to get some seats in there.
And now you laugh. Now you laugh for this joke. Even if
people show up. Yeah, exactly.
I'll pay you $5 if you laugh.
Well, you said you've been up here. When's the next time, once this all ends, you think you'll be coming back to the U.S. to do some shows?
I was invited to do, you know, the regular Christmas parties this year. And I normally do a tour from July to all the way through October. So I'm 2-3 months up in the States. And I travel. I go all the way up to Seattle, and then I go to New York, and then I go down all the way to Miami. And then I do Texas. I do Kansas City. I do a lot of places. But this year, due to the COVID, everything changed and swifted. So we're just on call to see what happens.
2021.
How is the COVID in your area, you guys, relatively?
Where we are is very good. It's not as bad because since we live off tourism, we take really good care of ourselves and we take care of all the people who visit us. You should see the way we sanitize everything is ridiculous. It's just way too much. People get surprised. People get surprised that it's so neatly clean. And that's how it should be before it goes away.
Minister Marco, how do people find you? How do they follow you online?
Yeah. I'm on every single social network under Minister Marco. I thought it was easier for people to just have one name. And you can find me also on my website, ministermarco.com. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter,
TikTok, wow,
LinkedIn, everywhere.
LinkedIn and TikTok.
What's the other one?
Friendster.
No, the dating apps, because my wife will kick my ass.
Oh, yeah.
No, and it's a true story. One day I went to one of those dating apps.
By accident. And
my match was my wife, so it wasn't good.
Well, we got to do a show together next time you're in New York
City. We should. Anytime, yeah. Man. Anytime. I love to. And it's been great talking to you guys. Yeah. Now you know a little bit more about Mexican politics.
You've inspired me, because I've been saying I'm going to run for city council here in New York, but now I'm thinking twice about it because I'm worried I'm going to get corrupted. The way I like the money, man. But I don't want to sell out.
I'll tell you, everybody has a boss.
Everybody has a price too.
That's why Turner loves true. Crony capitalism, we like to say. So he's in favor of this, but
no, it's actually I'm not ashamed to say what I just said, because this is not something I do and I will never do. I will never be involved with government or politics. But what I am involved is in speaking. So when I have the opportunity to speak up, and when I do like school comedy shows, I do a really good show. And then at the end, I always like to close with like a nice message, you know, work hard for what you earn and don't get anything for free, because free things will go away and will get you in trouble. And little kids get it. You know, when you talk to a kid, a kid's mind is virgin. They don't have any bad things in them yet. And if you can leave a good influence in them, maybe that good influence will work. Maybe not for everybody, but if at least 2-3 people can get that message, one person, another comedian can do the same, another public speaker can do the same, and before you know it, we won't have corruption in the government.
Minister Marco, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Kaplan, that is it. What should people do?
I would like Mr. Marco to talk to my kids, but in the meantime, we should get lost.
Get lost!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.